of the Application Review Committee to order. Today's date is August 30th, 2024. The time is 7:30 a.m. The purpose of this meeting is to substantively review the psychologist applications listed on the agenda for today. Kathy, would you please help us with roll call?
Yes, Madam Chair. Dr. Flint?
Present.
Dr. Seidman?
Present.
You have a quorum.
Thank you, Kathy. We're going to move to agenda item number 3, the approval of minutes. These are the minutes from, I believe, our marathon session on April 26, 2024. Dr. Seidman, if you don't have any recommended changes to those minutes, would you make a motion to approve as drafted?
Yes, I will, Dr. Flint. I move to approve the minutes from April 26, 2024. Do I hear a second?
Second that motion. The motion carries because there's just the two of us. So there you go. Moving on to agenda, moving on to agenda item 4, discussion, consideration, and possible action on psychology applications. I see we do have a few applicants with us today. Let me just peek and see if they all fall into one category or whether we just should move forward in order of the agenda. It looks like we're kind of all over. So Dr. Seidman, are you okay with just going in order of the agenda?
Absolutely.
Perfect. All right. So the first thing we'll start with item A, the review of applicants for EPPP exam only. Would you take the first applicant, Dr. Seidman?
I sure will. This applicant is Dr. Chelsea Keene. The board approved Dr. Keene's initial application to take the EPPP on November 6th of 2023, and they took the exam in July of 2024. Unfortunately, Dr. Keene did not receive a scaled score that meets the pass threshold for licensure in Arizona. Dr. Keene submitted a new National Practitioner Databank self-query on August 1st and revealed no reports. Everything else seems to be in order, Dr. Flint. I have no concerns about the reapplication for taking the exam. Do you have any concerns?
I don't. It looks like everything's in order. Thank you, Dr. Seidman. Right. And we will move on to the second one in this category and then a motion for the entire category. So the second person is Dr. Samantha Mongold. She holds a PsyD from APA accredited Chicago School, LA. She was also a former Argosy student graduating in June of 2023. She has an internship with Southwest Behavioral Health Services, which is also APA accredited, meeting the 2000 hours. Two references were provided, the self-query with no issues noted. I didn't find anything with this particular application. Dr. Seidman, did you have any concerns?
I have no concerns, Dr. Flint.
Excellent. I would entertain a motion to approve items on 4A, the EPPP only.
I second that motion.
Excellent. Since there are no nays to that, I guess we'll just move forward. In section B, we are looking at requesting approval to sit for EPPP and licensure. There are 4 applicants in this category. Dr. Seidman, would you like to take the first?
I would. I'm probably going to botch the name, and I apologize if Dr. Mongkuho is here. Is Dr. Mongkuho here? No. So Dr. Mongkuho earned a PhD from Virginia State University in clinical health psychology on December 7th, 2023. This program was a non-APA accredited program. Dr. Mongkuho submitted materials for the core program requirements form, which was completed, and her courses appear to meet the topic areas. I did note that Dr. Mongkuho noted taking Psych 707. On the form noted that it was taken in spring of 2021, but it was actually taken in fall of 2020 and received a C grade. I'm not even sure. I don't think that course is even required in that area because they have 3 credits for another course. So I think it's just something that we can consider, but I don't think it's necessary to look further into it. Mm-hmm. Under individual differences, Dr. Moncujo placed Psych 514 as taken in spring of 2018, but the transcript says it was actually fall of 2018. So I think that's just a needed typo change there. Under treatment modalities, Dr. Moncujo put Psych 701 as taken in spring of 2020, but on the transcript, it was actually 2021. So there's a number of just minor kinds of year and semester changes that are needed. But everything else, I believe, in terms of the core requirements are in order there.
Madam Chair, Dr. Simon, I hate to interrupt, but I just admitted the applicant. She just joined the meeting. So maybe for her benefit, we can inform her that her application is under review at this moment.
Okay. Thanks for joining us, Dr. Is it Moncujo?
It's Moncujo.
Moncujo. Thank you. Sorry about that.
No problem.
I'm a New Yorker, so I tend to botch names pretty easy. So I apologize. We were just reviewing your application, and on the core requirement sheet that you filled out, there's some errors around the semesters that you took certain courses. And I don't know if you heard me say any of those before. Would you like me just to kind of repeat those pretty quickly?
If you could, that'd be helpful. Thank you.
For sure. Psych 707, I don't think you need to have on your form. You have 3 credit hours by another course. Psych 514 under individual differences, your transcript says you took it in fall of 2018, not in spring of 2018.
Okay.
The other one was Psych 701. You have on the form spring 2020, but it was actually 2021.
Okay.
And those are just minor kinds of things that you can correct.
Okay. So do I correct this and just resend it to Ms. Folks?
I let us finish review, if you will, and then we'll let you know, okay?
Heard, okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So the good doctor submitted 2,034 and a half hours of pre-doctoral internship that was completed at the non-AP accredited New Mexico Psychology Internship Consortium from August 1st of 2022 to July 31st of 2023, and obtained the 2,000 hours. An additional 350 hours of supervised pre-internship experience was also submitted. That was completed at Family Focus with a total direct hours of 181 and a half. I'm sorry, hold on a second. I apologize. 150 direct and 131 of supervision. There were some things about the training plan. Let's see. Yeah, the supervisor answered no. The clinical training director answered no to the written training plan indicate methods of evaluation for the student? And so that's a question of how you were evaluated by your supervisor. Let's see. So total number of hours, I believe, are a little bit short for our required hours. Now, Dr. Flint, please feel free to chime in.
I had a couple of the same concerns. At the pre-internship site, Family Focus, if I'm doing my calculations correct, which I apologize, that math stuff is not my forte. It looks like the direct hours, you cited that you had 38.5, but in order to meet the criterion, it would need to be about around 45 hours of direct. I don't know. There's also some discrepancies in the health brigade hours. on the eval, it says something different than what was submitted on the verification sheet from your school. So that discrepancy we're going to need to clear up to get an accurate number of hours. Couple other little pieces is at the John Randolph Medical Center. It looks like the primary supervisor was listed as a social worker and not a psychologist. Although we can have some hours from others licensed with different license levels, it's my understanding, and please correct me if I'm wrong, staff, that the primary supervisor must be a psychologist. Am I accurate in that assumption? Okay. My only other thing that I had a concern about is the human growth and development class. The grade was an S, and I'm not sure what a grade of an S means, because there was no, normally on a transcript, it gives you a little bit of a key of what everything means. And that was not provided in the packet. So I'm unsure what S means. And that was listed as part of the, it's the human growth and development core program requirement. So I think there's a lot of things in this particular application that we just need to have reviewed, cleaned up, and requested that there's an application with accuracy and double checked, particularly those areas where on a training plan, supervisors say one number, but then they sign off on another number. Those discrepancies are needing to be fixed, so we know exactly what hours we're looking at. Dr. Seidman, did you have any other thoughts on this one?
No, I concur. The two major ones are the primary supervisor being a social worker and not a psychologist. And the other one is the 25% of your hours need to be direct client contact. And so that needs to be clarified for us to be able to make a decision on your application.
Madam Chair, committee members, with regard to the health brigade verification, you said there were discrepancies, but I don't know what those discrepancies exactly are.
In the hours that were submitted on the verification form were different than the hours that were on the signed, I believe it was a training plan. I have written down on page 145 of our packet, it said that there was 216 hours, and the direct hours listed in another place were 185.5 on page 131 for the same site.
All right, thank you.
Kathy, do you have enough for this for a fair?
Yes, sir, I do. Thank you.
You're welcome.
So what will happen moving forward with this is that a letter will be sent that documents all of these issues, and you will be given time to respond to those. Okay, thank you for being here. Moving on to our next applicant in this section, Dr. Amelia Porter. Let me find her section here. She received her PsyD degree from William James College. She's actually a reapplicant for us. Her initial application was reviewed on May 3rd, 2024. She had one attempt at the ECCC and didn't obtain the required scaled score. That was in June of 2024. The letters of reference are still okay from the initial application, and a new self-query was submitted. I did not see anything in this application to prohibit it from moving forward. Dr. Seidman?
I have no concerns on this, Dr. Flynn.
Okay, excellent. Would you take 4B3, please, sir?
I should, 4B3, I sure will. And I see Dr. Curley is here. Hi, Dr. Curley, thank you for being here today. I'm glad you are.
Good morning. Good morning, board.
Good morning. So Dr. Curley graduated from Walden University with a PhD in clinical psychology on December 28th of 2023, and the degree was conferred on February 11th of 2024. The Walden University PhD program is not AP accredited. Dr. Curley completed the quarter credit hours, the core program requirements form, and it looks like it's in order now. So thank you, Dr. Curley, for making those corrections. We had requested a for more information. And I appreciate you, your diligence in completing that correctly. Thank you.
Thank you.
Dr. Curley submitted 2,299 and a half total hours of pre-doctoral internship at Grandis Health in Phoenix, which was done from March 1st of 2021 to August 12th of 2022, with 1,519 and a half direct hours and 305 individual supervision hours, completing that 40 hours a week for 76 weeks. We had asked for some information around the pre-doctoral internship submission and the postdoctoral experience, which you also completed, which was also completed at Grandis Health.
Yes, sir.
And the completed form that was dated 8/13 of 2024 identified 1,920 total postdoctoral hours, with 1,440 direct and 100 total supervision hours. The board had requested additional information about that those two particular training experiences, particularly around the stipend process. And your the supervisor, Dr. Quaino, if I remember correctly, submitted several documents. And Dr. Curley, I'm glad you're here, because could you please explain to us how you were compensated? Because what Dr. Quaino submitted, I'm still not really clear about how that process went. So could you talk to that a little bit, please?
So basically, how it went, it was I was paid for each hour I was with a client. Okay. I did, per Walden, they said that we should keep our books. So I went back because of HIPAA. I cannot, this is my 2022 book. Okay. I'm going to flip quickly because of HIPAA. I can't show you names. Okay. But this is my completed schedule for one particular week. Okay. It's full. Right. Down here, you kind of pull it back so you can't see names. Down here, you can see that it says I had 38 client hours, two of supervision. It's kind of blurred out a little bit. But for those 38 client hours, it's a total of that $65, okay, that she owed me for a total of $2,470, okay? So this is what would have gone into the Meditrack system for Walden. Okay, so this is what she would have paid me. I wouldn't have been paid for those 2 hours of supervision, obviously. But because I had 38 client contact hours in here, and this particular week was all therapy, okay, that's what she would have paid me. Now, if you go back to this particular week, it's mostly blacked out because I had a dissertation intensive, okay? So...
were you compensated for those hours you were doing dissertation?
No, I was not. So down here, this one's going to be a little tricky because the names are underneath or above it.
We're actually not able to see what you're showing us anyway. So it's okay. Just
okay. I just don't want to show any names.
No,
it's okay. I want to be ethical here.
Dr. Curley, may I ask, did you see what your supervisor submitted to us this past time?
I did, and I didn't understand it. So that's why I went to my safe and pulled these out. Okay. So this one, it shows that the 14 therapy hours at the 65, she owed me 910, but I had two supervised hours for this week because I was in dissertation intensive for this week.
Were you compensated for the supervision that she provided?
No, not at all. Not
so
at all.
So you were paid based on productivity?
Yes, no, not productivity. It was my client contact hours. It was not product driven at all.
But if you didn't see the client, you didn't get paid.
Correct. But if I did an assessment, so say I did a complete neuropsychological assessment that took 8 hours. Okay. It was one, I got credit for those 8 hours, but it was a straight 65.
So you didn't get paid for those 8 hours. You got paid for.
I got credit for those 8 hours, but a straight 65.
And did that fluctuate? Like, is that because she billed for that amount? Or
I don't know how she billed. The problem that I'm running into, and I'm going to be completely honest with you, because I feel like I need to get my cart detached from this horse. Okay. I feel like I'm between a rock and a hard place here, because I can't go back and say, okay, you guys want 2 weeks of, you know, or a year's worth of paycheck stubs, like at any other business. I wasn't paid like a normal business. Okay. And that's where I feel like the letter, and I read it, and I'm like, I don't get it. That's why I went back to my safe and pulled out these books. So I just want to be done with this. I did everything that I was supposed to do. So this is the problem that I'm running into. When I was supposed to get paid, so for this particular week here, I was owed a previous balance of $1,040. The particular week for here, I was owed $2,584, but I wasn't paid. I couldn't leave my internship because I was in the middle of it. Okay. So
why weren't you paid? Why weren't you paid?
It wasn't just me. It was the whole internship. It was everybody that was in this internship. We were told various things. The insurance hadn't paid yet. She didn't have the money, different things. So we're stuck between a rock and a hard place.
Were you compensated eventually?
Eventually, yes.
So Dr. Curley, what we're trying to do, and I remember a comment you made, we're not picking on you. What we're trying to do is ensure that trainees in the state of Arizona meet the licensure requirement. And one of the requirements is that they're not paid for the productivity that they provide for their particular supervisor.
Right.
And what your supervisor actually presented appears to be that that's the case, that you were paid for your direct service, if you will. And it's not a stipend. It doesn't look like a stipend, what I could make of it.
Yeah. And we weren't paid strictly for productivity. I mean, I understand how it looks. I mean, I read that initial contract after, you know, because I signed whatever, because our school also said, yep, you're good to go. So, I mean, I was under the umbrella of the school, under the umbrella of her, you know, and once you start it, you can't start, you know, you can particularly start over if you want to, which I didn't know that I was in this particular situation until now. But now I'm stuck. I did everything, you know, and I just want to be the best doctor that I can. I haven't.
We want that same thing for you.
Yeah. So, I mean, I wasn't doing anything wrong, and I wasn't paid for just productivity. So, you know, and I mean, I went through a lot to get this degree. You know, and so did other interns that were in this situation, you know, and we're all just trying to get done.
Yes. Well, so Dr. Flint, I still have that same concern about the training program not truly being a training program. And it does appear that the compensation, from what was submitted, the compensation was per direct hours that you know, was making money for the agency, and it doesn't look like that it meets our licensure requirement for a postdoc or a pre-doc.
What are our options now, Gene? Do you have any guidance for where we move forward? Because I absolutely agree, the very definition of stipend is a fixed amount, and this is definitely not a fixed amount. Direct client hours were counted. So I continue to have the same concern.
So as I see it, you would have a couple of options as far as your recommendation to the board. One would be to deny the application for the reason stated. And then secondly, you could also recommend that the applicant be allowed to withdraw her application. We don't have an issue where you know, she may not be qualified because of, you know, education or that's not a criminal history or something that we would want to note and keep as part of our public record. This is kind of a deficiency with respect to her training. And so those are the two options.
Okay.
So are you telling me I'm never going to be able to license because of Grandis Health and Dr. Cuneo and the training I received?
Your application doesn't meet the required statute.
And I can't redo internships, so I'm never going to be able to license.
Madam Chair, committee members. Oh, go yes. ahead, Jean. Jean, were you going to?
Well, we can't say never, but the requirement in Arizona does not appear to be met. You were compensated based on the number of client contact hours you had. That's in direct violation of the Arizona rules. And that's what the board has a final say. And there may be other states where that payment, what you were compensated, would not be an issue. But what you did receive is in violation of Arizona law.
Okay.
It appears.
Okay. So in terms of her still technically, I mean, and I guess I'm just asking this for the board because she still does owe me money now. And unfortunately, there's a couple other interns who are afraid to speak up. What can I do for them?
Ms. Galvin, I'm sorry to interrupt, Dr. Curley. Ms. Galvin, I was going to ask, the supervisor appears to be doing this with some other people too. And yeah. Is there anything that the board can do to stop that?
Yeah.
One option would be to recommend to the board that they direct communication to the supervisor to let her know that based upon review of at least one applicant's records, this system of compensation that she has established appears to be in violation of Arizona law, and that she should refrain from continuing this practice, lest she jeopardize additional chances for other applicants to be licensed.
Yeah. So I mean, here's the latest. I mean, this is just text messages for the money that she owes me this week. If I get paid, you know, if the checks go through, then yes, I can pay you. Thank you.
Well, I'm sorry you're experiencing that, Dr. Curley.
So, I mean, that's why there's no, and I mean, I'm heartbroken that I'm going to have to leave the state just to license for what I did. So, or for what she did. It's not even what I did. So
it is an unbelievably difficult situation, Dr. Curley, and my heart absolutely goes out to you as a person in training in the state. But it really does come down to, it's a very clear law, and it's just appears that you're not being paid a stipend.
All right. So where do I go from here? So should my application, Ms. Galvin, my application is withdrawn?
We have to wait until the committee decides what recommendation it is going to make to the board. And then the board will have the final say whether the board is going to deny your application or allow you to withdraw.
Okay. And which one is actually, I guess, better for me, if there is a better?
You know, perhaps let's see what the committee recommends.
Okay.
Then you can reach out to staff or myself for that conversation.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you for being here, Dr. Curley.
Thank you.
All right. Moving on to the next applicant in the same category.
Well, do you want to? Okay. I just didn't know if you wanted to. I guess your motion will come at the end with respect to her. Is that what you're
planning? Is that okay, or would you prefer it to be now?
No, that's fine.
Okay. Perfect.
I can make the motion now if you'd like. Would that be okay?
Yeah, absolutely, sir. If you'd like to go forward with that, we could separate her from the others in the category.
Okay, I move that we allow Dr. Curley to withdraw her application.
I second that motion.
Ms. Galvin, was that not okay? I think you're on mute.
I've lost the thing. It would be a recommendation to the board to allow her to withdraw her application.
Okay, I make a recommendation to allow make a recommendation to the board to allow Dr. Curley to withdraw her application.
Second that. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. No opposed. That motion carries. So we will go to 4B4. And this one, I'll get the name wrong. I hope I get it close. Dr. Abdelhamid Saidi is actually an alumni from the Midwestern University Downers Grove campus with a graduation date of 8/31/23. That's an APA accredited program. This is a reapplication as well. So all the previous data points on ours have been checked and met criteria. Had an experience with the ECCC of not meeting the standardized or the scaled score requirement in May of 2024. The references on this applicant are still in good standing from the original application. A new self-query was submitted, and it looks to me like everything's in order to allow this individual to make a recommendation to the board to allow the individual to retake the ECCC. Dr. Seidman, any concerns?
I have no concerns.
Okay, excellent. So let's entertain a motion, please, sir, for items B, 1, 2, and 4. To move forward with recommendations to be able to sit for ECCC and licensure.
I second that.
Awesome. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, no opposed. All right, section C, and I just want to do a little bit of disclosure here. Dr. Scott is a student of Midwest, or was a student, sorry, brought you back into class, Dr. Scott, of Midwestern University Glendale. My relationship with Dr. Scott was in a faculty position, not for dissertation or advisement. So I feel like there's no conflict of interest. Dr. Scott, do you have any issue or feel there's a conflict if I am part of the decision-making process today?
No, thank you.
Perfect. All right. Dr. Seidman, would you review this case, please?
Absolutely. Thank you for being here, Dr. Scott. The Arizona Board of Psychologist Examiners Application Review Committee substantially reviewed Dr. Scott's application for licensure on July 26th of 2024 and requested some additional information. Specifically, a self-assessment was submitted that indicated a description of Dr. Scott's abilities going into postdoctoral training rather than a written training plan that explicitly met the Arizona statute and rule requirements. So the committee requested either a PDF copy of the written training plan signed by the supervisor prior to the start of the postdoc that meets the requirements for licensure, or an attestation that mentioned that it does meet the requirements. So Dr. Scott's supervisor and or Dr. Scott submitted a training plan addendum that unfortunately wasn't signed. However, the supervisor submitted an email that the email is on page 8 of the materials, Dr. Flint, that talks about the Phoenix VA being a APA accredited training program. And so while the training plan, well, I'm going to encourage us to allow that email to be an attestation stating that the training program meets our licensure requirements, unless you have a concern, Dr. Flint, about that.
I don't. The only thing that I picked up as well was the unsigned training plan being submitted. It was dated, but not signed by either party.
Yeah.
Ms. Galvin, may I ask you a question about this? Is it okay to accept the email as an attestation? Is there precedence for that?
I don't know if there is precedence, but if the committee finds that it is sufficient, then that would be appropriate.
Okay. Dr. Seidman, I agree that I feel like it covers all of the listed out criterion. Do you have any concerns about it?
No, I don't have any concerns. I feel good about that decision. What I would like to see happen, and Dr. Scott's supervisor alludes to this in that email, that the training plan needs to be a little bit, you know, cleaned up a little bit more and clearer in order for the trainees not to have this kind of issue in the future. So I would encourage Dr. Scott, your supervisor, to do that, and that would be terrific. So I have no other concerns.
Excellent. So I would entertain a motion for this category to move this application forward to the board for approval of supervised experience for licensure for Dr. Scott. Do I hear a second?
I second.
Excellent. Motion carries. All right. Section D is for licensure by waiver, and we have four applicants in this category. Would you start in the first with the first applicant, please, Dr. Seidman?
I will. I apologize. My computer is acting up a little bit, so just give me 1 second.
I can jump in then while you're doing some troubleshooting.
All right. Thank you. Sorry.
Yeah, absolutely. So our first applicant in this category is Dr. Slavin. She obtained her PsyD from APA accredited Azusa Pacific University. There was a tiny discrepancy on her application. She said that her degree was in May 6th of 2023. The transcript actually says it's August 15th of 2023. And I think just for the sake of anybody listening to these meetings, it is really important that we have accuracy in applications. And so watching dates, making sure hours match up is kind of critical. It might seem like a tiny little error, but it could really mean something, you know, important and cause us to question, you know, other things in the application. So be accurate, please. Internship was at APA accredited WellSpan Philhaven Hospital. Total hours were 2080. The passing ECCC score was received from Kansas in December of 22. Congratulations on that. Postdoc was at Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital with 1,560 hours, of which we can only count 1,500, which meets the overall hours requirements. There are two references and a self-query submitted. And other than that tiny little discrepancy, which in this case is likely inconsequential, I don't see any issues in Dr. Slavin's application for licensure by waiver. Dr. Seidman, did you have any concern?
I have no concerns.
Okay, great. Let's move on to the second one in this category. Dr. Campbell, is your computer back up and running?
Yeah, I'm back up and running. Thank you,
awesome. Dr. Awesome. Would you take that one?
Dr. Campbell submitted an application for licensure by waiver, passed the ECCC Part 1 December 12th of 2022 in Kansas, and the score meets the requirement for Arizona licensure. And Dr. Campbell has been licensed in Utah since March 3rd of 2023. Dr. Campbell graduated from the APA accredited Kansas City University with a PsyD on May 26th of 2023, which was conferred on August 15th of 2023. Dr. Campbell completed a 2017-hour APA-accredited pre-doctoral internship at the Utah Psychology Internship Consortium and submitted an additional 1,954 hours of postdoctoral fellowship at Intermountain Healthcare with 549 direct hours and 45 hours of supervision, which was completed August 6th of 2023. I did note, Dr. Flint, on the training agreement, on the training plan, it talks about a date of July 17th of 2023 and ends July 17th of 2025, which is 2 years. And then it goes on to say, supervisee will be identified as a licensed psychologist, and then in parenthesis, postdoctoral neuropsych fellow, which those are a bit conflicting, and remain under supervision of the licensed psychologist throughout the supervised experience. Otherwise, references are in order, and the National Practitioner Databank self-query was processed August 5th of 24 and revealed no reports.
Dr. Seidman, I don't know if you picked up on this. Thank you for the discrepancy or the title that is concerning. We can't call anybody a licensed psychologist who is not a licensed psychologist. But in the hours for the postdoc, unless I did my math wrong, it looks like we're a little bit under for required direct of 40% on a postdoc. and a little bit under, quite a bit under on the 1 to 1 hours. If my calculations are correct, the direct hours.
Oh, yes. I'm so sorry. You're right. I just saw that it's 28% of direct, and it needs to be 40.
And then also the 1 to 1 supervision hours of 1 to 20. If my calculations are correct, she would need 97.7 versus the 45 that was submitted.
Correct.
So I'm hearing that we need clarification on the postdoc hours, and we also need clarification on the postdoctoral 2 year, specifically what the position is called, for I guess lack of a better way of identifying it. Is there anything else that you would like in that fair letter?
No, I think we should be clear on being short on direct hours for postdoc and short on supervision hours, 1 to 1.
Kathy, is there anything else that you need from us in our discussion to issue that letter?
No,
other than a motion, obviously.
Yes. Madam Chair, committee members, I think I'm pretty clear. It's you have concerns about the supervision and direct hours are not meeting the minimum requirements on the verification. And then in the written training plan, the title that it says she would be given does not meet requirements if it's a licensed psychologist. And then with the dates that the written training plan says it's a two-year supervised professional experience, but the verification is for only 1 year.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Kathy. All right. Moving on to the third person in this category, Dr. Gonzalez Juarez. She obtained her PsyD degree from Adler University in July of 2022. She holds temporary licensure, which was established in December 21 of 22. We have verification of a past ECCC score as of June of 24. Congratulations on that. Internship was at an APA accredited Momentous Institute. The concern I have here is that it is a 1 year internship. However, we are reporting 2,232 hours, which would mean she worked more nearly every week and never had day off in the whole year. So I just would like clarification on that, especially at APA accredited institution or internship programs, the 40 hour a week, as well as that meets our laws as well, to not work or not claim the hours over 40. And this form clearly does. Postdoc was at McGady and Associates. 2,004 hours were submitted. And we can only count up to 1,500 of those postdoc hours, but the direct hours and 1 to 1 supervision appears to be in order for that number of hours. There were two references and one self-query submitted. So my only concern is the internship counting over 40 hours a week, and that attestation statement or that statement of supervised hours needs to be corrected to reflect Arizona's requirement. Do you have any other concerns, Dr. Seidman, on this application?
Nope, okay. Same ones as you. Thank you for that.
So we will issue a fair letter on this one as well. We'll put that in our motions. The last one in this category, 4D4, Dr. Schaefer. Would you take Dr. Schaefer?
I sure will. Dr. Schaefer submitted an application for licensure by waiver, passed the ECCC June 29th of 2022 in Kentucky. Congratulations, Dr. Schaefer, if you're out there. Scaled score meets the Arizona requirement. Dr. Schaefer graduated from the APA-accredited Spalding University with a PsyD, which was conferred August 12th of 2023. Dr. Schaefer completed 2,162 hours at the APA-accredited predoctoral internship at Banner Neurological Institute at Phoenix Children's Hospital in Phoenix. That was from 7/5/22 to 7/3/23, which is a similar kind of concern that you had on the last one, Dr. Flint. about the number of hours. That's 1 year. It's a little less than 1 year, and that's over 20, 80 hours if you have a 2 week break within there. Dr. Schaefer also submitted 1,520 hours of a postdoctoral fellowship at Phoenix Children's Hospital with 561 and a half direct hours, which, if I calculate that right, only comes out to 37% and not 40% of direct hours, unless my math is off.
I found the same thing, Dr. Seidman.
Great. So we're actually pretty good at math, it sounds like.
Hey!
That is where we're saying we are. Calculators are wonderful. Dr. Schaefer received 205 hours of supervision. This postdoc was done August 7th of 2023 to May 3rd of 2024. The training plan seemed to be in order. References appear in order, and the National Practitioner Databank self-query was processed October of 23 and revealed no reports. So Dr. Flint, those are my concerns. Do you have any additional?
I do not. Those were mine identified as well. And just to point out, Kathy, for the FAIR letter, in section B on page 21 of our packet, it lists that it was planned to be a 45 hour per week commitment. So if that is helpful at all in the documentation.
Thank you. I was not aware of that, so I appreciate you pointing out.
No worries. All right. So let's take this section. I'm going to start the motion, Dr. Seidman, if you don't mind. So for 4D1, we are moving forward with a recommendation to approve licensure by waiver with no additional requirements. And for 2, 3, and 4, we are requesting FAIR letters to cover the details that we had discussed in our conversation and confirmed with Kathy understanding. Do you have any additions or corrections to that motion?
No, but I second that motion.
Excellent. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. No opposed. Motion carries. All right, so let's move to section E. This is those individuals requesting approval for licensure by credential. And we have the first one is Dr. Kugel, who obtained her PsyD from the University of Hartford in clinical psychology in September of 14. She's been a CPQ holder since March of 2023. She is licensed in 3 states, New Jersey, Texas, New York. All of those licenses are current. And the query on each revealed no actions in any other state. Her self-query form was in order with nothing indicated there. So I did not see anything that was of concern at all in her application, Dr. Seidman.
I have no concerns on that application.
Okay, excellent. Would you take the second one in the category, please?
Absolutely. This is Dr. Buford. Dr. Buford. Application was reviewed on July 26th of 2024 by this committee, and a FAIR was generated asking Dr. Buford to correct on the application that when Dr. Buford was at Fort Mojave Indian Health Center, they were not a psychiatrist, and Dr. Buford responded with a very actually lengthy and very much appreciated response, noting that has no training in medicine, has never practiced medicine, and they changed the title from psychiatrist to psychologist. Everything else seems to be in order, and I have no concerns with this response to the FAIR. Do you, Dr. Flint?
I agree with you, Dr. Seidman, and thank you for that. Moving on to the next in this category would be Dr. Thompson. They received their PsyD in clinical forensic psychology from the Chicago School in October of 13, holds licenses in 2 other states, California and Nevada. Both are active and no actions on any of those licenses. The self-query form was also clean, and I did not see any concerns on Dr. Thompson's application. Did you, Dr. Seidman?
No concerns.
Perfect. The last one in this category, Dr. Greenberg, would you present that?
Yes. Dr. Greenberg holds an ABEP, American Board of Professional Psychology certificate in couples and family that was issued December 3rd of 2013. Dr. Greenberg also holds a CPQ that was issued March 8th of 2012. No disciplinary actions have been reported. Dr. Greenberg is licensed as a psychologist in Nevada since July of 2014. Also is licensed in the state of Colorado since August of 2012, and also in California since March of 1990. There's proof of established residency in Arizona. Dr. Greenberg went to CSPP, the California School of Professional Psychology, many years ago. The National Practitioner Data Bank self-query was processed June of 28th of 2024 with no reports. And Dr. Greenberg answered no on to all of the professional conduct questions. I have no concerns about Dr. Greenberg's application. Do you, Dr. Flynn?
I do not. Thank you, Dr. Seidman, for that. Yep. Would you like to make a motion on this category?
Sure. I move that we recommend to the board that we approve all of the applicants for licensure by credential, Dr. Kugel, Dr. Buford, Dr. Thompson, and Dr. Greenberg. Do I hear a second?
I second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Great. Motion carries. The last category on today's agenda is requesting approval for licensure by universal recommendation. Oh my gosh, recognition. I can read this morning. There are four applications in this category. I'll start out with Dr. Kegel, who obtained the PsyD degree from the Wright Institute in 2016, has been licensed in Nevada since 2018 with no actions. A self-query form was received and appeared to be in order. Proof of residency, my only question on that was it only appeared to show a spot here in Arizona through December. I don't know whether we question that or whether we just have the rental agreement in effect today and that's enough to move forward. Any guidance from staff or Jean, please?
That would show that they have established residence here and maybe just the period of the lease.
Okay.
That, you know, comes up for renewal or whatever her or their options are come, you know, December.
But our criteria are met.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Excellent. Thank you, ma'am. All right. Other than that, I had no concerns at all on this application. Dr. Seidman, did you have anything?
I have no concerns.
Perfect. Would you take the second one, Dr. Settles, please?
Yes. Dr. Settles is licensed as a psychologist in the state of Alabama since September, was licensed in the state of Alabama since September 15th. It expires actually in October of 2024, but it's current. It is current. Sorry about that. Is also licensed in the state of Alaska. Was licensed in the state of Alaska from April of 2014 to June of 2017. So currently is licensed in the state of Alabama. Dr. Settles showed proof of residence in Arizona. Dr. Settles earned a doctoral degree from Alliant International University in Los Angeles, completed a self-query in July 24th of 2024 with no reports and answered no to all the professional conduct questions. I have no concerns about Dr. Settle's application. Do you, Dr. Flynn?
Nor do I. Thank you, Dr. Seidman. The third in this category, Dr. Horn, holds a PhD from Miami University in clinical psychology, licensed in Colorado since September of 2023 with no actions noted. Previous SciPact member from 2020 to 2021. Driver's license, verified residency with the current address, and the self-query form appeared as well to be clean and no concerns noted on that. I did not see any other concerns in this application, Dr. Seidman, did you?
I have no concerns with that application.
Excellent. Let's move on to Dr. Morse. Would you take that one?
Yes, Dr. Morse is licensed as a psychologist in the state of California. First effective date was November 17th of 2022. Dr. Morse submitted proof of established residence in Arizona. Dr. Morse has a doctoral degree in psychology from Colorado State University, submitted a self-query dated July 22nd of 2024 with no reports, and answered no to all the professional conduct questions. I have no concerns about Dr. Morse's application. Do you, Dr. Flynn?
Nor do I. Thank you, sir, for that presentation. So in this category, I'd like to motion that we submit to the board and ask for approval for licensure by universal recognition for Drs. Cagle, Settles, Horn, and Morse as identified on the agenda. A second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. No opposed. All right. Is there any new agenda items for future meetings that anybody would like to bring forward?
I don't have any.
Hearing none. Do I hear a motion to adjourn our application review committee meeting?
I move to adjourn our application review committee meeting.
Do I hear a second? I second that. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. No nays. So this meeting is adjourned at 8:26 a.m. Thank you, everyone, for all your help, and Kathy for getting all these together for us.
Thank you.
Take care.
Thank you, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Bye.